Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to Picks and Pours, episode 9. Today is Thursday, December 14th. December is just flying by. I'm pretty much halfway through it at this point. All kinds of holiday stuff going on. Crazy talk at the UFC 296 press conference. Before we get into any of that and our picks and pours for that matter, let me introduce from all the way across US 19, Matt Mechanic. What's going on, Matt?
Not much, Bill. Been looking forward to this all week.
Yeah, and I made you wait even longer because I was running late tonight. Sorry about that.
Very important things, though. It's okay.
Yeah, well, I got back late from jiu-jitsu, and then I was driving the wife's car, so of course there was no gas in it. So I had to stop for gas and then eat and shower. And then I had to hide the damn elf.
It's amazing how the wives can like perfectly time it to when they need gas in their car.
Never fails.
It's an art form.
Yeah. Well, I kind of intentionally took the car because it seems like by the end of the week, it always needs gas and she'll forget and be like on the causeway with running on fumes. So
hey, Bill, I took your advice and I picked up one of your recommendations.
Oh, the Heaven Hill. You've had it before, though, right?
Probably, but I now have my first bottle in Bond bottle.
Okay. How do you like it?
I don't know. We'll find out later.
Oh, it looks like you... Did you pour some already?
Yeah, I got some poured.
Okay. Yeah, they say to open it up, you should... Some people say... Pour it in a glass and let it sit for as many minutes as years it's aged. So like that one's a 7 year, let it sit for 7 minutes.
Yeah, well, I saw some thing about a neck pour. That's only a moron would believe in neck pour. I put it in one of those situations.
Yeah, it's just, I think what it is the first, I think whiskey, it just takes your palate like a few sips to adjust, you know, and I don't think it's necessarily the whiskey that's in the neck. That's the problem. I think it's just the first time you taste a whiskey, you're kind of like shocking your palate a little bit and maybe it doesn't taste right. And then as it kind of opens up and your palate acclimates to it a little bit, then it gets a little bit better. But yeah, that Heaven Hill is excellent. And for those who don't know what Matt is talking about, I posted a list of recommendations. If you're shopping for a bourbon lover this holiday season, I posted a video on YouTube, Instagram, I think TikTok, possibly Twitter, I don't know, Facebook, everywhere. And I gave a recommendation for every budget. So from under $25 and then for every $10 forward until we get to over $55. So check that out. If you have somebody like a coworker or something, you need to buy a bottle of whiskey, maybe your boss, you know, they drink bourbon, maybe like an uncle or something. And yeah, it should be the easiest person to check off your list. Just pop into the liquor store, grab one for them, and grab one for yourself.
And the prices were right where you said they were going to be. Probably because you checked them at the same liquor store I bought it at. But
yeah, that, and I buy these bottles a lot. And some of them, you'll catch them on sale, and you'll catch them underneath the budget range, and that's a win. Like the Redwood Empire, I've purchased for under $35 before. Yeah. And then if you don't even want to go to the liquor store, if you don't like socializing or shopping in person, you can use my Drizzly link, which will be posted in the show notes later. And you can order it to your doorstep or have it delivered to the person you're gifting it to, even better. I am drinking not one of those recommendations. I'm drinking this Penelope Barrel Strength. And this is a distillery I was curious about for a long time. I heard a lot of good things about it. And my brother-in-law sent me this bottle like 2 months ago, maybe. And it's really good. You know, once you get past the neck pour.
It's got a really back there.
Yeah, they're like, let's have. They should make a whiskey that's just. They should make a whiskey bottle that's only neck, and they call it what's that neck pour whiskey.
Start. They have a good head start. From here, it looks like you brought some cheap bottle of wine. So,
yeah, well, it's a really tall bottle. If you look at it, like next to my head.
Yeah, you got one big head. Not like mine, but
yeah. Yeah, your head was bigger than that Heaven Hill bottle, I think.
Yeah.
All right, so the press conference just ended. You saw it. I didn't. Let's do the bets first, though, and then we'll get into all that stuff. So UFC 296, obviously headlined by the champ Leon Edwards and Colby Covington, and we're going to give you Matt's bet picks for the entire main card. Do you want to start at the opening of the main card, or do you want to start with the main event?
Actually, we're going to start with the closing fight on the prelims.
Okay, even better. Bonus pick. So that's Josh Emmett and Bryce Mitchell.
Yeah, Josh Emmett's a plus 175. Bryce Mitchell's minus 230. This is a replacement for, I think, Giga Chikadze. He tore his groin, which does not sound pleasant.
No, that sounds horrible.
I think Josh Emmett might be getting the short end of the stick on this fight. You know, he was preparing to fight a striker and probably putting together a lot of offensive wrestling, and now he's probably going to be, doing the other side of wrestling. I'm looking forward to see what Bryce does on short notice. You know, he seems to come either sick or hurt a lot. So, but I'm going to pick Bryce in this.
Okay, why?
Bryce has only lost once. I mean, I know Josh Emmett hits like a truck, but I think Bryce has just got God on his side, and I think he's going to pull this one through.
It's a lie from Satan, brother.
It's a lie from Satan, brother.
That was perfect timing. Yeah, so his one loss, he got submitted by Ilya Topuria. But who has he fought, do you think, that has the wrestling of Josh Emmett?
Well, you asked me too fast. Let's pull up. You're probably asking me this because there isn't one.
I mean, not at the UFC level, because Josh Emmett's a good wrestler. A lot of people don't realize it because he's so in love with the knockout and throwing those big overhands that he doesn't really use it. He's kind of like a Justin Gaethje, but Josh Emmett's a very solid wrestler, and he's at Team Alpha Male. So
wasn't Tyler Diamond a wrestler? I mean, I know this is going back to when he won the Ultimate Fighter, but I'm pretty sure that guy was a wrestler. Maybe not.
Couldn't tell you. I mean, Edson Barboza has really good takedown defense historically, and Bryce was able to get him down, but he's not a wrestler. It's like a different level. So, I mean, I think Bryce is going to have a hard time getting Josh Emmett to the ground. And in order to close the distance, he's probably going to have to eat some of those big bombs. I mean, I don't totally disagree with your pick, but I would lean the other way. But
yeah, my bias is coming to this. If you ask my top five fighters, Bryce Mitchell will be on the list. I'm a country boy. I see a lot of the things he says I relate to. There's two picks I'm going to make on this card that I'm throwing logic out. And
your top fighter list is going to look like the Storm the Capitol Dream Team.
Yeah. Right. At least the Nate Diaz a favorite one. He doesn't seem to give a shit about that kind of stuff.
No, I don't think Nate Diaz will be storming the Capitol.
No.
He would just...
Yeah, if I start listing the rest of them, you know, Sean Strickland. Another guy we're going to talk about tonight, actually.
So, okay.
Yeah. And Billy Keane, so... I don't think he has too much to do with that either.
No, I don't think. I don't think Billy.
Storm a Bills field after a game or something.
Yeah, he run on the field.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, he's it. No, he's too mature for that now. He's a father, soon to be a father of two.
So the next fight that is not happening is Ian Garry's fight. It's a shame. I mean, he's got pneumonia, so you can't fight with pneumonia.
No, but I wouldn't recommend it.
I thought Ian Garry had was the best setup to steal the show this weekend. You know, he's got a lot of drama going on. There's no way to better way to deal with all that than to just knock somebody completely unconscious.
So you would, if this fight were happening, you would pick Ian Garry?
Yes.
By finish?
I don't make picks like that, but I just think that would, you know, if he had a highlight reel there, that would be the, you know, I don't really like all this bullshit that they're doing, you know, with to him. You know, it's personal. We're going to get personal tonight, but I guess the more you put yourself out there, the more you're going to have to deal with that type of shit. So
that's the thing. And when you put yourself in a position where you start talking about other people and talking about their families, you kind of, you know, are you really in the right when people come back at you with the same sort of thing? And I know it's different, but I mean, I saw a thing with Neil Magny was talking about how he's having like custody issues with his child because of the stuff Ian Garry was saying before their last fight.
But we really don't need to talk about people's wives unless they're, you know,
I'm
interjecting themselves all the time, which there's some of them out there.
I mean, I agree with you. I think there should be a level of civility, but there is the fact that, like, if you're going to dish it out, you got to be able to take it. Now, I'm not saying that justifies the things that have been said, but, you know, if you put a certain energy out there, you have to expect it to come back to you in some form.
All right, that's enough of that. Let's move on.
But wait a second. Before we move on, I saw something where Kevin Holland said he wanted to step in. He said, I asked my wife and my girlfriend, and they both said I could fight this weekend. Yeah, is there any chance we see Kevin Holland stepping in there with Luque?
Luque made a video saying he's in too at 180. He gave Kevin Holland the 5 pounds. That would bring some more personality on it, but I think some of that,
the benefit
from a Kevin Holland fight would be, had already passed in the press conference. I mean,
well, you don't think they're still trying to string it together?
I don't know. Around lunch today, I got the feeling that it's just going to be dropped. I wouldn't be surprised if we find out that Bryce Mitchell's fighting on the main card.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. Or they move Cody Garbrandt up to the main card.
Yeah, that would work.
All right. So instead of picking the fight, give me your odds on whether or not, or give me your pick on whether or not Vicente Luque fights on Saturday night.
Fights Kevin Holland or just fights?
Fights. Because other things can happen too. We got two other welterweight fights. There's still time for somebody to pull out.
We almost lost the main event during the press conference. So, I mean, I don't know. There's a good chance. I'm not an odds maker though.
Where's your money? Is Luque fighting Saturday night or not?
No, he's not fighting.
All right.
You think he is?
I hope he is, because that means that something stirs the pot between now and then. Yeah. And that'll be interesting. The marketing team is like scrambling right now. They're like,
the main event doesn't happen, does Vicente Luque fighting one of those guys make sense? Is that going to be a better fight? No.
Honestly, it depends who it is. You could easily put Wonderboy in the main event and have Luque and Rachmanov.
I don't know.
You could do Wonderboy versus Colby would be great. I think that still does good business. Wonderboy versus Leon does great. I think any way you want to do it, it's not a wrong move putting Wonderboy in the main event if something goes south. Because you don't want to put the flyweights at the main event. After all this hype, after all this talk around the welterweights, You don't want the flyweight main event to be headlining the last pay-per-view of 2023.
And it's probably might be the one of the best, better fights on the card.
Yeah, but it's not.
Doesn't have the name.
Yeah, it's not a marquee fight. And honestly, if you put Wonder Boy in a title fight, is anybody really going to complain? I mean, people will.
Fans, I don't think a lot of fans these days know who the hell Wonder Boy is.
So they can't complain. All right, moving on. Tony Ferguson, Paddy Pimblett, who you got?
Ferguson's plus 240, Paddy's minus 325. I didn't really like this fight when I saw it. I like both of these guys. Tony's a savage that deserves a hero's exit.
Yeah.
Paddy's an up-and-coming superstar. You know, he lost his last one. He won his last one. But a lot of people think he lost it.
Yeah.
It's a long time ago. I got a clip from Paddy's press conference. Not the press conference tonight, but the media day yesterday. It just highlights how he just seems like a great guy that's, you know, got a good head on his shoulders. It's kind of long and he's hard to understand, so just go like this if you've had enough.
All right, lay it on me.
And when they came to you with Tony, was that kind of best case scenario for you? Like, obviously one of the more popular names in UFC history, and trying to erase the image of last fight against a big exciting name like Tony Ferguson?
Yeah, of course. As I always say, I'll never say no to a fight. So when his name was on the contract, I signed it. The funny thing was, there was a fake card going around, wasn't there, for UFC 296 with like McGregor on and O'Malley. And it was me versus Tony. So I was getting asked by everyone, "You're fighting Tony Ferguson? You're fighting Tony Ferguson?" I was like, "Nah, you know, lad, nah." And then literally 4 weeks later or something, I got a contract through with Tony's name on. But yeah, as I say, it's an honour to be able to fight Tony Ferguson. One of the best lightweights of all time. When I was a kid watching the UFC at like 15, 16, when I just started signing, like he was in the UFC then. I was watching him fight then. So it's like that cliche saying, when your heroes become your rivals. But it's one of them, lad. Even I want to see there. Tony go out on a win, but I can't let him do it at my expense, lad. It's not happening.
Then in his fight, like especially against like Justin Gaethje fight, he was pretending to throw sand. He was doing all of this other odd things in there. So did you see that? And how do you prepare for something like so unexpected like that?
Someone mentioned this before. Actually, I'll have to pretend to be a wizard and get a wand out. You know what I mean? If he starts doing all that.
That's why I wanted the video, because he's doing all this Harry Potter shit. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, we got to figure out how to get. Video on this
next
thing.
Next week, we just started late, so we didn't get it set up. So
yeah,
I'm gonna take Paddy. He definitely takes damage, but you know, his last fight, he tore his ankle to the point that he needed cadaver tendons put in, and he did that pretty early. So you know, he's undefeated. Other than that, well, he is undefeated. So.
But now he's got cadaver tendons.
Yeah.
How does he beat Tony Ferguson? That's the question.
I think it ends with you're right. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just asking, like, how does he get it done?
I think the way everybody else has done it recently. I mean, the guy can wrestle. He's got some cool submissions, especially in the days before he made it to the UFC. You know, Tony's got this David Goggins guy with him.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's really doesn't have anything to do with his cardio or his mental, but David's famous for performing with fucked up knees, and I'm wondering if he's just helping him with that.
If you look at it skill by skill, does Paddy have better cardio than Tony?
No.
Does Paddy have better wrestling than Tony?
Nope.
Does he have better jiu-jitsu?
He has better top jiu-jitsu, I would say, not bottom.
All-around jiu-jitsu? MMA jiu-jitsu.
But he does have what? How old is he?
39. And does Paddy have better striking? I mean, Tony's unorthodox, but it's effective. I mean, yeah, I remember in his last fight, he did have Bobby Green hurt at one point. He had Michael Chandler hurt in the first round of their fight. And Patty comes in striking with his chin straight up in the air. And even if you get on top of Tony Ferguson, you got those elbows to worry about. I don't feel like Patty has the kind of power that the guys Tony has been losing to have, because Tony has looked good in the beginning of his last few fights. And then he gets caught with a big shot. I don't see Patty having the ability to do that to Tony. Now, I'm not saying Tony's going to win. I just don't see how Patty wins. Like, I can't visualize it.
Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah. Like, I can...
In the press conference, he says it will end with him standing over Tony's unconscious body.
Oh, that's cute.
And Tony's prediction was him looking like a ketchup sandwich. Whatever the hell that means.
All right. Yeah, Tony's an odd dude. Yeah. I don't know, man. I honestly don't know how this one goes. I don't see where Patty is good enough to beat Tony Ferguson, but I don't see where what's left of Tony Ferguson is good enough to beat Patty Pimblett. That's where I'm at with this one.
I have a question. What if Tony pulls this off, what do you think his next fight would be?
Oh, shit. Hopefully there isn't one, but knowing Tony,
I think there could be, I think there's a lot on this fight for Tony, because he could be done, or he could maybe fight someone like Conor McGregor or something.
Fuck, crazy. Give him Islam. Damn, man. That's a good question.
I mean, what sells better than a Conor McGregor, Tony Ferguson?
I would say, looking at the top 15 guys, the fight that makes the most sense would be RDA. Yeah, I don't. Tony Ferguson versus McNuggets.
Yeah.
All right.
Next fight, we have Shavkat the Nomad Rakhmonov.
Rakhmonov
plus 425. That's not right. I had this backwards.
I was gonna say that doesn't sound right.
That is not right. Shit. I'm gonna assume it's flipped, so it's. It's a minus 425, and Wonder Boy's a plus 650.
Wow. Yeah, that can't be right.
You talk about what you're going to say, and I'll find this.
So this is an interesting one, and we have a similar problem in the Tony Ferguson-Patty Pimblett fight, but I can see how Shavkat could win this fight. I mean, he can definitely land a big shot and knock Wonder Boy out. I mean, Wonder Boy, as great as he is and whatever he is in karate, like a fucking super rainbow belt or something, and he just got his like seventh degree ninjutsu, whatever, I don't even know, some high level karate belt he is. Look, Wonder Boy can definitely pull this off. He can derail the hype train, make no mistake about it, especially if Rakhmonov gets in there and just tries to trade blows with Wonder Boy. Wonder Boy is unorthodox. He's unusual. He's not someone you can just prepare for. You know, you can't just bring in other MMA fighters to prepare for this. You have to bring in like actual karate guys to train with, like some of these karate combat guys. I remember Tyron Woodley talking about how much money he had to spend to bring in all these high-level karate guys when he was preparing for Wonder Boy. So, I mean, Wonder Boy can definitely pull this off. And even with the grappling, people don't realize, even though he has that open stance, Wonder Boy is really hard to take down. I mean, he's been in there with high-level wrestlers, Tyron Woodley being one of them, of course.
Yes, Rock... I just had it flipped.
Okay, so what?
Plus 650. Shavkat is a minus 425.
Okay, so who's your pick?
My pick is Shavkat. I mean, I went and watched all these fights. You know, his nickname among fighters is the Boogeyman. He really beat the shit out of Geoff Neal. That was crazy. He got a standing rear naked choke.
Yeah.
Rear naked crush.
Yeah, he did. He beat the fuck out of him.
Yeah, that was... I'm just going right here. I mean, it'd be a cool upset with Wonder Boy, but... Yeah, I guess I need to go back and watch Wonder Boy's older fights, because since I've been a fan, he hasn't been that impressive.
Go watch his fight with Jake Ellenberger.
Okay.
Or watch his fight with Robert Whittaker. Yeah, it's unfortunate that, like, he was on such a hot streak, and then once he got to the title shot, it was those two dud fights with Tyron Woodley. It was the draw and then the boring loss where, like, Woodley just kind of, like, didn't engage with him at all.
Do you think this has this matchup has something to do with Wonderboy not fighting Michael Pereira?
Like a punishment?
Yeah. I mean, this seems like he's just being a piece of meat being hung out.
No, I don't think it's necessarily a punishment. You know, if you look at the rankings, like, Rakhmonov is ranked above Wonderboy. And it's like, who else are you going to have Wonderboy fight? Because if you look at the top guys, Usman is possibly staying in middleweight. He already fought Bilal Muhammad. Colby Covington's fighting for the title. He already fought Gilbert Burns. So the next guy above him is Rakhmonov. So it just kind of shakes out that way. If he wants to fight up in the rankings, this is the only guy. You can't have Wonder Boy, like, fighting low. All right, co-main event.
Co-main event is Alexandre the Cannibal Pantoja. He's a -195 favorite, the champ, versus Brandon Raw Dog Royval, +150, and the worst fight name in the sport. These two fought in 2021. Brandon spent the first round, you know, really chasing some submissions, but the second round, Pantoja was able to secure a takedown and got a strangle very quickly. There was an unaddressed, obvious eye poke to Royval before that takedown. And since then, both those guys have been killing it. This is going to be my first underdog. I'm going to say Anthony Brandon Raw Dog Royval.
Brandon Royval gets it done over Alexandre Pantoja. Yeah, I mean, yeah, this one's going to be a scrap. It's going to be interesting. Here, I'll put it this way. Who wins if it goes the distance?
Don't see how this fight would go the distance.
Yeah, probably won't. But I would favor Alexandre Pantoja if it goes the distance. I think if Royval is going to win, he's got to finish.
Plus, if a championship goes to a finish, it usually leans to the champ anyway. I mean, not always, but there was a while there I thought it should always go to a champ if it makes it to the end. You should take that belt. But I've changed my mind since then.
Yeah, well, you know, that comes from a boxing mentality, which is, you know, dated and was something that they felt like they needed to preserve the sport. And it worked for a long time, because at the end of the day, like, especially when that opinion was popular, there was no internet or anything. It was just people talking about it at work. Like, oh, did you see the boxing fight? Oh yeah. So-and-so won. He's still a champ, of course. And then that's it. Everybody will forget about it. And then the records are printed in history, and very few people go back and watch those fights. So that's that. All right, so the main event.
Main event, the big one. Leon Edwards, -170 versus Colby Chaos Covington, +130. Man, I've been looking forward to this fight a long time. But it definitely has a possibility to be a boring-ass fight.
Sure. That line is a lot closer than I thought it would be. I thought Colby would probably be a little bit more of an underdog with so much time off and with, you know, Leon looking so good against Usman, who has a very similar style.
Yeah, Colby is and Usman are basically the same style, except Usman might have a little more striking to fall back to, where Colby just keeps, when Usman fails a takedown, he'll go back to his striking, and Colby really doesn't have, he just keeps going for the takedown.
Yeah, I mean, Colby's striking is actually pretty clean, and he strikes with more volume than Usman, but Usman has that fight-ending power, which Colby definitely doesn't have. I don't think, I don't know if Colby even has a knockdown in his UFC career.
I remember that when Leon Edwards won the championship, there was like that really motivational speech from his coach right before that came.
Yes.
Yeah, so I actually, UFC Fight Pass, I went back and I found it and I brought it so I could play some of it.
Let's hear it.
To wake him up, Leon, oh, come on, you're fucking, you're quitting, don't give up.
That was a really good speech.
Yeah, I mean, that's up there. That's like Mick from Rocky.
Yeah.
It's up there with him.
The only thing better than that was that the call from Anik when he's like, he's not cut from that cloth, and then bam.
Yeah.
Or that's not a cloth he's cut from or something. So anyway, my pick.
Oh, okay.
I'll be taking the greatest welterweight of all time, Mr. Colby Covington.
The greatest welterweight of all time. Mm-hmm. Wow, bold statement. You think he beats GSP in his prime?
10 out of 10 times.
I love it. All right. So, wow. I would have thought that Colby would be a bigger underdog, and it would make sense to maybe throw a couple of bucks on him.
Well, you know, everyone keeps saying it. Colby's, who has Colby fought? Who has Colby fought? You know, he's fighting old people, and, he was being interviewed by, it might have been his press conference, but here's what Colby had to say.
You've obviously fought some pretty high-level former champions like Tyron, Kamaru, RDA, Robbie Lawler. So I'm curious, where does Leon rank compared to all these former champions that you faced?
You know, he's at the bottom of the end of where the guys that I fought. You know, I fought in first bout Hall of Famers, and this guy's had a pretty easy path. You know, everybody likes to talk about my path to get here. Let's talk about his path. Who'd he beat? RDA a couple years after I washed him up. Who'd he beat? 40-year-old Cerrone, 40-year-old Nate Diaz, Ricky Waters. Where does his impressive resume come from? Where's his young contenders on his resume? He doesn't have it. It never happened. So, you know, he's nothing impressive. Saturday night, I'm going to expose him for what he is. And that's nothing more than a coward and a low IQ idiot.
So if he was.
No, I know there's a lot of Colby splash in there, and obviously his good fights are against Kamaru Usman, but you know his other fights, he's Colby's kind of right. He's fighting old guys too. I mean,
he beat Luque in his prime. He beat Brian Barberina. He out-grappled Gunnar Nelson and beat him. But yeah, other than that, I mean, he makes some good points. And then there's also the fact that he's beaten Usman twice, who has beaten Colby twice. So, I mean, I get what he's saying, and Colby's really good at taking the questions and being able to twist them and throw them back at the person asking the question. You know, he's actually pretty skilled at that. But yeah, I mean, if you look into it, like both of these guys have earned their place in this main event. I don't think there's really much debate on, on either of them deserving to be here. I mean, what Leon Edwards did to Kamaru Usman, that alone, cause Usman was the number one pound for pound fighter in the world at the time, put him out and then, you know, was able to defend the belt against them right away. So there's that. So Colby tried to use some verbal warfare to get in the head of Leon Edwards. And I'm not going to disagree with your pick, by the way. For me, this is a pick 'em. If anything, I might lean a little bit more towards Leon just because he's shown really great takedown defense and he does have that fight ending power. But after the press conference, who knows? Because I take two sides of the coin. Before we talk about what was said, the person who has to dig down deep and really try and cut the other person with their words, that shows a lack of confidence to me, where they feel like they have to get a mental advantage. And then the person who gets worked up and storms off the stage, that shows to me they're getting in their emotions and it's going to come to their detriment because they're going to have their adrenaline dump, you know, backstage while they're thinking about fighting this guy. Now, it didn't happen with Kamaru Usman. Usman was able to put all that aside when they closed the cage door, even though he got riled up in the press conferences. He was able to zone in and take care of business with Colby. I don't know if Leon will be able to do so. So let's get into the press conference stuff.
Okay, so I'm going to start. Colby walked out dressed like a colonialist with a Trump hat on. He had a kind of a goofy-ass suit on with a powdered wig. It looked a little corny, but what he was going after, it worked. I have the first question from the press conference. It was for Leon, and Colby steals it. So
okay,
I'm start there.
It's a question for Leon Edwards. Leo, first of all, I'd love to get your reaction to Colby's choice of outfit today.
The guy coming here dressed like a fucking drag queen, you know? I don't know what he's trying to go for, but fair play to him.
Of course you don't know what I'm going for. You didn't even graduate elementary school.
Fuck you, talking about?
You're a fucking idiot. Literally, what's your level of education? I'd love to know. Did you graduate elementary school? Nah, you didn't. All right, I'm the people's champ. I got a question for the people. Did you come out here to support these red coat motherfuckers? Or did you come to be a part of the American Revolution? All right. That's a good survey. I like it. I got one more survey for you all. For all the people out there, how many of you guys have fucked Ian Garrett?
Oh, man. All right. So this is where Colby fails to follow the blueprint of Chael. Because obviously, you know, Colby's trash talk is like the Wish.com version of Chael Sonnen. However, he takes it to a vulgar level. Chael never used four-letter words in all of his trash talk, which is really impressive to me. The fact that he was able to push guys' buttons and never swear and never be vulgar was interesting. He never really went after people's family. He kind of did it in like a cutesy way. Like when he told Anderson Silva's wife to make a mistake, medium rare, just the way he likes it. And then when he talked about Tito's ex-wife, Tito Ortiz's ex-wife, who was, of course, porn star Jenna Jameson. But yeah, Chael never took it to that vulgar level. I don't like that Colby is attacking Ian Garry when he's not even there. That makes it like an extra low blow.
Yeah. And he went back to it, but that's two different reporters brought Colby back to that topic later on. So I think he knew it was gonna happen. So I think he just went ahead and did it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a comedian and you're going on stage and you know you have some good jokes, like you're going to try and work them in, like regardless of the circumstances, even if you have a heckler or whatever, you try and get those lines in that you prepared. So that's obviously what he did. It seems a little forced. It seems unnecessary. And yeah, I mean, those reporters are no better than him because they're trying to get those sound bites to put out on their websites and put out on their social media. So like they know exactly what they're doing and they know that they can just play the clip of him saying it without them asking the question. So he's the one who looks like the bad guy, but we all know that, you know, the media's hands are not clean ever in these circumstances, whether it's fighting or politics or anything that's being discussed in the media.
And Colby did take it to the complete edge. I think, you know, a dead parent is what would be the hot button. The button that's got the thing you gotta fucking flip before you hit it, you know.
Yeah.
And he did go that far, and Leon reacted in an extreme manner. He launched a water bottle. He didn't bust off stage. He just totally shut down at that point. Like, he just sat there. When they faced off, they weren't even able to get anywhere near each other. And it definitely, if Colby's goal was to go out there and piss him off, he succeeded
in a okay
round, if that's the goal.
So he
was pissed.
He pissed him off. Do you think, so real quick, Colby said that he's going to drag Leon to the seventh pit of hell, and we'll probably see your father there. Now, Leon's father was murdered when he was just a young man, like a teenager or something like that. So obviously it's a sore subject. If someone's parent is murdered, I mean, that goes without saying, it's a sore subject. So he was going for the jugular with that one. Clearly he pissed them off if he's shut down and they can't get close to each other, whatever. Do you think it affected him to the point where it will impact the fight?
I don't know with how that works for Leon Edwards, but I'm sure there are certain fighters that it would.
So maybe someone,
maybe both ways. He might have pissed him off enough that he's going to go out there and really kick his ass. Who knows?
Yeah.
Like, seems to like to have his opponent be in the feels. Say.
Yeah, I mean, it rarely works that way. Like, anger is not an emotion that works at this level of competition. It's just not. If he goes in there with angry intentions, it'll be at his detriment. He has to be able to go in there, put it out of his head, fight his fight, stick with his game plan, and execute, you know, the way he intended to. If he goes out there just like, when you're just like trying to knock someone out or trying to hurt someone, it really does work against you. So
push back a little bit, Bill, because we just had a new champion, Mr. Sean Strickland, that definitely employed the same tactics. Now, he did go out and execute his game plan perfectly, but I think he the trash talk helped him a little bit getting in there. I mean, the almost knockout in the first round definitely helped as well. But
wait, we're talking about two different things here. We were talking about, like, Strickland would be in the shoes of Colby in this scenario.
Oh, wasn't Strickland in Colby's shoes? I mean, wasn't he out there talking about...
Yeah, so that kind of proves my point. If Adesanya went out there fighting angry, he lost.
Well, yeah, so if he got Leon angry, I don't know. I think we're on.
He's going to lose.
Yeah.
I'm saying if he goes in there and fights angry, he's going to lose.
Oh, okay, then we're in agreement.
Yeah, I'm saying he's got to put it out of his head and execute his game plan the way he intended. He can't go in there like looking to hurt Colby. That will work against him.
So in the press conference, other than that, Patty and Tony got into it. Tony and Colby got into it. This went on for a long time, a good maybe 5 minutes of them going back and forth. I got the tail end of it.
Okay, perfect.
14-2 most knockouts, bitch.
6-fight losing streak, bitch.
155.
Yeah, bum, because you can't come to a real man's weight class. Everybody knows 70 is the premier division of the UFC.
Hey, get Trump's sack out of your mouth, bro. You got anything else, though?
Bro, you must still be knocked out when you got kicked by Michael Chandler, dude.
I might be. I fucking woke up, dude, and I realized how American I am, man. So I'm going to be real. Hey,
you still see a ghost in the wall?
I'm going to be fucking real. The Stars and Stripes ain't going fucking nowhere.
Still kidnapping your kids?
So regardless if this fucker wins and I win, we're going to keep that fucking shit here.
Yeah, we'll see.
That was a compliment, bitch.
Yeah, I'm complimenting you too. I'm rooting for you on Saturday night.
All right, Colby, let's fucking do this shit.
Let's go, Team America.
Fuck yeah, America, motherfucker.
Fuck yeah, God bless.
Here we go, motherfucker.
Raise up, yeah! The revolution.
We're gonna Paul Revere these assholes.
Damn right we are. Fuck these red coat motherfuckers.
Oh man.
There was a lot of that going on. The They were lumping. Well, I guess never mind. Yeah, it was England versus the United States.
That was so weird. That like they're like going at each other's throats, like, oh, you seeing ghosts in your wall and kidnapping kids, and like, well, all
it,
of a sudden
was, like I said, it was a good 4 minutes before that, and it seemed like they might have talked before. They were arguing back and forth, like they started being nice and then they got real far apart bitching each other and then brought it back in, like that was the plan.
Oh, like
I thought it was cool,
like maybe they're in on it.
Yeah, the trash talk with Patty wasn't that good. I mean, Patty would just say something, and you know the way he talks, he called Tony a sausage, and Tony just didn't, I don't think, you know if he understands him, or it didn't work.
Yeah, the British trash talk is weird, because that, you know, the Scouser accent is tough to pick up on, and yeah, they have insults there that don't really translate here. Like Tyson Fury does that. He calls everyone a sausage, and like nobody really knows what he means.
So do you think this has possibility to be fight of the or card of the year? And what is the current card of the year? What are we trying to?
Man, I'd have to think about that.
Maybe we can do a poll for our listeners.
Yeah, let's do a poll for card of the year. I'll come up with some options and I'll post it on. You know, I think it has the potential to be card of the year, sure, because on paper it's a great card. But it also has the potential to be the worst card of the year. You know, this thing could go south real quick. You know, there's all kinds of memes like. You know, it's a guy that looks so pissed off, and it's like me at the end of the night after UFC 296 when Tony Ferguson's unconscious, Wonder Boy retires after a knockout loss, and, you know, Colby Covington gets knocked out or you know, whatever the combination is. So, yeah, I mean, depending who you root for, it has the potential to be terrible. And, it, you know, just because these fights are good on paper, they could be all like, too one-sided, or they could be boring. Yeah,
it's just a lot of star power on this card.
And I think this card has the potential to be one of those ones where the prelims outshine the main card. You know, this happens a lot where the main card is stacked and then the prelims are great and we get to the main card and it just drags. That could definitely happen here, because we have, I mean, look at this undercard. Andre Feely and Lucas Almeida. That should be a great fight. Alonzo Menafield and Dustin Jacoby. I don't see any way that's a boring fight unless it goes past like a round and a half. Cody Garbrandt, Brian Kelleher is a really fun fight. And then we have your boy Bryce Mitchell and Josh Emmett on the prelims for now, until they get moved off. Muslim Salikov is still on this fight, but he does not have an opponent, and that's at welterweight. So,
yeah, maybe he's fighting Vicente Luque.
Oh, man. I mean, you got to pay Luque a shitload to fight that guy on short notice, because you're asking, that's a big ask, because you're asking Luque, who's ranked number 9, to get in there with a guy who's not even in the rankings and who's dangerous.
Maybe he fights below Muhammad.
Maybe. I mean, supposedly Bilal is weighing in tomorrow as a backup fighter for the main event. But I wonder if Luque is going to try and make championship weight. Probably not. Casey O'Neill and Ariana Lipsky will be a fun fight as well. Oh, and then Irene Aldana and Carol Rosa is on this card. So Aldana fighting for the first time since her loss to Amanda Nunes in June. It'll be interesting to see how she bounces back from that. I mean, overall, this is a great card. So what would you say to somebody who is like, and that somebody is me, who's on the fence about going back and watching this press conference? You think it's worth it? Or should I just watch the highlights on social media?
In the morning, and you'll see the what you need to see.
That's kind of what I figured.
I played what you needed to. I mean, some of the other fighters had some talk, but I mean, who cares? Pantoja was talking for a while. Now, just check out the highlights.
All right.
You know, I don't know. I'm sure the talk about the father will be front and center.
Oh yeah, that's already clipped up on. Like,
yeah, I mean, if I clipped from the press conference, yeah, it's probably already building likes.
Yeah, I mean,
he's one of my favorites. I wish he didn't do that.
I mean, Ariel Helwani has already booked a medium on his show tomorrow to talk to Leon Edwards' dad. Like, this is the media is going to be all over this one. Like, they're not going to miss their opportunity to blow up their channels with that kind of content. Like, and they're all going to shame it too. Like, I can't believe he said that. But listen to the clip on my website.
Yeah. Can't believe he talked about a guy that his dad that died. And yeah, we're going to have an exclusive. We're going to talk about it for 35 minutes.
Yeah. First, we're going to play the clip 12 times. Make sure you only stream it on our site. We got the best camera angle on it when he said it. We had Leon's reaction as he was saying it. They're gonna play the shit out of this.
All right, I only have one. I'm gonna play the clip. I had one extra news thing. Well, two.
All right.
Jake Paul's fighting tomorrow. If anybody gives a shit.
That's tomorrow.
I don't think he promoted it at all. He doesn't. You know, like he said, he's not. He didn't even get a new fight outfit. He's fighting a pro boxer that's on his way up. I think Jake switched into, you know. He wants to get validation for himself. I think he probably has. He said he has enough money, and he really wants the MMA or boxing community to respect him as an actual fighter. So I think this is the way he. You know, and how the hell else would he do it? I mean, he has to. He can't just start with contenders. He has to fight the low, you know, fight lower down, and
yeah.
But he's a superstar, so. I guess his solution was, well, I'll just book it with a boxer, and I just won't promote it so nobody buys this damn thing if I lose.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, he's going to make more money on the clips being shared of him saying he's not going to promote this fight than he will on the fight. Yeah. The guy knows how to say things that will go viral. I mean, he has been creating viral content since he was a little kid. You know, when he was making Vine videos and going viral doing that stuff, he's got it down to an art. So even though he's saying, I'm not going to promote this fight, I don't care about this fight, this guy's just here for me to knock out, he knows the kind of traction those statements are going to get. And it's going to get people to dislike him and possibly want to tune in, but that's not even the end goal. The end goal is to continue building his brand, continue building his highlight reel until he can work his way up to fighting an actual boxing contender. Now, if he really wants to get the respect of the boxing community, he needs to stop making a mockery of their sport, because that's exactly he's doing.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to make the point. I think that's what he's doing right now, like what he's trying to do.
But trying to do that by taking a boxer and then saying, like, it doesn't matter that I fight this guy who has dedicated his life to this sport that you guys all love.
No, he said that I don't promote it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the yeah. I didn't promote it either. I mean, they made that clip I showed you was from yesterday. You know?
But if he wants to get the respect of the boxing community, like, look, this is a legitimate boxer. I'm taking this challenge seriously. You know, this guy has, you know, build the guy up a little bit. But instead he's like, nah, I'm just going to knock this guy out. It doesn't matter. I'm not even going to promote this fight. It's like, what are you doing for the sport of boxing then? Because you're getting in there and boxing and you're not even using your celebrity status to help uplift the event, like, which would, you know, maybe put some of the guys on the undercard on a bigger platform. Like, that would help the sport of boxing. You're not helping the sport of boxing by not promoting the boxing fight that you're doing.
Yeah. And by the way, he's a giant favorite. So you might want to put a little money on the pro boxer.
I might not.
I did. I'll let you know. Oh, one more thing before the last news.
Would you also gamble on pro wrestling?
Depends if I got the script or not.
Yeah, exactly.
But I took your advice for rolling with a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And it went perfectly. He gave me no fits at all this week. But that's probably because he was actually just visiting and he wasn't there this week. He's gone. He just on vacation last week down training.
Oh, so
damn it.
He gave you no fits because he wasn't there?
Yeah, because he was back up in the Northwest where he lives.
Oh, okay.
So that's good. But good advice. And then the last story I have is just a feel good. We have our first confirmed UFC 300 fighter. We don't have an opponent for him yet, but Dana made a handshake agreement that Jim Miller will be fighting on UFC 300.
Oh, nice. He
fought on UFC 200 and 100. Now, he does have a fight in January, so we'll see.
So, Jim Miller and Clay Guida?
Yeah, that's badass, right?
I mean, I don't see why not.
It was just an interview with some British guy. I thought it was cool.
We don't need to open that can of worms again. We don't need a Colby Covington coming out in his powdered wig.
I wish he'd spent like at least $100 on that outfit, not 50.
Yeah, that's kind of, that's where the cringe factor really comes in. Is he doesn't like go all out for the gimmick. He just kind of like I see where he's going with it, and it could do well. Like maybe if he hired a writer and like had somebody do his outfits instead of going to like a thrift store. But yeah, it just becomes so cringy. But I mean, at the same time, that's what gets people to tune in. Like now a lot of people are going to want to see this fight to see him get knocked out. And then on the other hand, you know, all the storm the Capitol people are going to be like, oh, hell yeah, let's fight. Let's see this guy beat up the British dude.
When he wins the belt this weekend, it's confirmed Trump will be putting it on him.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, put whatever your feelings are on Donald Trump, imagine what it means for the sport of MMA to have a former president of the United States get in the octagon and put a belt on a fighter. Like, that's a historic moment.
Yeah, I mean, the plan was for him even to walk out with Colby, but the Secret Service put a kibosh on that.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want him getting beer dumped on him. And
well, that was the reason, because they have to have so many Secret Service, and then Colby would you know, I don't know. I think Colby's probably got some fighters in his walkout team that could protect him better than the Secret Service at this point.
And then you get the point where it's like possibly interrupting the production. Because the UFC runs such a tight ship when it comes to the production. And I think a lot of people don't realize like what it takes to put on a show like this, where you're having, you know, the fighters come out and you're aligned with the commission, and you're like, there's so many, there's so many people involved and so many variables, so many things that could go wrong, and they just have it down to a science. And I don't think they get enough credit for that.
That's all I got, Bill.
All right, then that's all I got too. I don't know what we're gonna do next week, because this is the last card, right, of the year.
Yeah, this is the last card. Yeah, we don't have anything for like 3 weeks, but I'm sure we'll put something together.
Yeah, maybe we'll do some kind of award show. We'll do our picks for the best card of the year, fighter of the year, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Spoiler alert: my BKFC fighter of the year is Dave Mundell. So don't forget to go on and vote for him, bkfc.com. Vote for him for Fighter of the Year and for Fight of the Year for his fight with Mike Richmond, which actually is, like, bias aside, that was my Fight of the Year for Bare Knuckle. You know, it was back and forth. Both guys got dropped. And then we know how it ended, but excellent fight. All right. Anything else you want to get off your chest?
Happy holidays.
Well, what's on my chest is my MMA on the Rocks Over the Top Under the Influence t-shirt. So if you want to get yours, I don't know if it'll arrive in time for Christmas or not, but hey, you can have a new look for New Year's. You can order a MMA on the Rocks t-shirt, tank top, or hoodie through our friends at Team Reaper. Reaper1.co is the website. You can use the promo code MMARocks10, save yourself 10%. And again, if you want to order some alcohol to your doorstep, whether it's for a gift or for yourself, you can use the Drizzly link in the show notes. Open up Drizzly and order yourself some booze. It'll come right to your door. It's a beautiful thing for just a small fee. You don't have to go out into the world and interact with any people, which is sometimes nice. And that's it. That's all we got. I'm going to pour myself some more of this Penelope and edit some videos and try to put out some more content for you all. So until next time, cheers, everybody. Goodbye.